Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Kuf. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Sadi Tesam and Beis at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to talk about if Beis Din has to sell karka and they make a mistake in terms of the evaluation of the karka, so they sell it for the wrong price. Do we follow normal dinim of ona'a when Beis Din is selling on behalf of Yisomim, or do we not follow normal dinim of ona'a? The Gemara is going to talk about if a shliach in general makes a mistake when he's selling karka. Do we treat him like the din of an almana that we learned yesterday, that even when she's selling the nechasim of Yisomim, even the most minor mistake makes the whole mecher entirely batel? Or do we treat a shliach like the Beis Din, which the rules we're going to learn about in the Mishnah, that we're not going to say the mecher is batel with even the most minor mistake? What exactly is the status of a shliach? The Gemara is going to discuss the concept of makoach, of imkein makoach Beis Din yafe, that on a certain level, Beis Din has to have different rules than a regular person. They have to be more authorized to be able to do things and have more leeway in making mistakes than other people would have. And in that context, we're also going to discuss the concept of a Toa Bidvar Mishnah, that if Beis Din makes a mistake on something that they really should have known, that's an explicit halacha in a Mishnah. On the bottom of Amud Aleph, Gemara is going to talk about when Beis Din sells Nechasim, or when an Almana sells Nechasim, who is mekabel the achrayus of those nechasim? Normally, when you sell something to somebody, it comes with the understanding, with the achrayus, that if that property were to be taken away from the buyer, you will reimburse the buyer. You'll pay him back. What if the almana is selling the nechasim of Yisomim? Is that her achrayus, or is that the Yisomim's achrayus? Or Beis Din is selling the nechasim of somebody. Is that Beis Din's achrayus, or is that the other party's achrayus? Or maybe there's no achrayus at all in the situation where it's not the owner who's selling it. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about the chiyuv of hachraza. When Beis Din sells something, they have to be machriz, they have to announce the sale in order to publicize and to get a lot of people interested to come and to check and make sure that the item is actually worth something and that they're not hiding anything. And the Gemara is going to talk about whether it's considered a Toa B'dvar Mishnah if they fail to do achraza, and it's going to have four different explanations why the Mishnah seems to assume that when Beis Din sells something without achraza, that the sale is going to be a valid sale, that we're going to allow the sale to go through. And then the last little piece before the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to talk about when Beis Din is selling metaltalim of Yisomim. How do we evaluate the metaltalim and what the rules are with regard to selling metaltalim? So let us begin at the Mishnah and Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis. Shuma Dayanim, when Beis Din evaluates property, shapichsush sus ovusifush sus, where they were off by 1/6, it turns out that they either sold it for 1/6 too much or 1/6 too little, mechron batel. The mecher is going to be batel. Now, typically speaking, the halacha is, when it comes to ona'a, is that there's ein ona'a lekarkos, that there's no din of ona'a when it comes to selling karka at all. And when it comes to metaltalim, the dinim of ona'a are explicit in Bamitzia Dafnun, where the Gemara tells us that ona'a of pachos mishlus is nikna mekach, that if the mistake is, if the pricing is off by less than 1/6, we assume that the sale is totally binding and the price is binding, and we assume that a person is mochel such a small difference in price. If it's yes al sus batel mekach, if the pricing is off by more than 1/6, we assume that the person who was cheated can claim that they were cheated and that therefore the whole thing is mekach tos and nullify the entire mekach, return the item, get their money back. And if it's exactly sus, the mekach is kayam, but you have to return the extra money. That's generally speaking the rules of ona'a. But by karka, there's no ona'a by karkos. Now, Maseches Erechin, the Gemara tells us that Bederech Klal, after Beis Din evaluates a karka, they then have to be machriz that the karka is for sale, and anyone who wants will come and buy, and they have to announce that. So our Mishnah will discuss that idea of being machriz. It's going to refer to something called an igeres bikoras. So the first line in the Mishnah is the Shita of the Tanakama, that when Beis Din evaluates a property and they're off they're off by 1/6, the whole mecher is going to be batal when they're off by 1/6. Rabbi Shimon Leal says, no, the sale has to be valid, because otherwise, if you're going to say that the mecher is batal, like the Chamas say, well then in what way are we authorizing Bezin to be any better than regular people who sell karkaos? Well, why would they be any different than anyone else? So we have to authorize Bezin to be doing something more than regular people, so it has to be that the mecher is going to be kayam. Avalim asu igeres bikoris beinehen, afilu mechron shav mana b'masayim, shav masayim b'mana, mechron kayam. But if they made an igeres bikoris, which means Beis Din set a price, and then they were machriz, igeres bikoris is code word for achraza, they announced that this karka is for sale, and anyone who wants can come and buy that karka, then even if they were off by a lot, even if Beis Din was koveya the value of the karka twice of what its true value was, or half of what its true value was, the mecher is going to be kayim, because we assume that since they did the achraza, it's not ona'a, because many people came to check out the karka, and apparently none of those people had a problem with the price. Someone would have raised an issue that this pricing is way off, and no one raised that issue. So apparently, even though it later turns out that we were pretty certain that they were off about the price, but the achraza sort of certifies the price that they had initially established for that karka. So two quick things over here. First of all, the idea of igeres bikoris, that we refer to it as an igeres bikoris as opposed to anything else. What's the lashon of igeres? What does igeres imply as opposed to a ksav bikoris, a shtar bikoris? Why is the dafka referred to as an igeres? So the Tosas Yantif on the Mishnah writes that anyone who's kona or is hichlit sherotza liknos, decides that they want to buy, would rather have a lot of people read the shtar so that everyone will realize that Beis Din was selling this. Meaning, otherwise it could be a bizayim for people that this mecher, he's buying karka that wasn't sold by the bailim. Now what kind of person are you? That there's someone that owns karka and you're not buying from the owner. You're buying behind the owner's back or something. You have some sort of side deal going on over here. We'd much rather, the buyer would much rather have it be known and have it be publicized that this is something that Beis Din had to do in order to be able to pay back the person's chovos. So you don't want a kol ra'i, you don't want people to have to think that you were involved in stealing someone's land. So it's something that you want as many people to read as possible. He says that's what an igeres is. An igeres is something that you don't roll like a scroll, like a Torah, where you read just the section that's open and the rest is rolled up. We do like the Megillah, where the whole thing is spread out, and we want it as publicized as possible. And that's why the Megillah is also called the Nigeres, that by Kriyas HaMegillah, we want it as public as possible. There's that inyan of Pirsume Nisa. And the other Acharim suggest that Igeres is Lashon of Ogre Bekitz, that it implies Isuf v'kibbutz, gathering together a large group. Hachrazas Beis Din is done in Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos. They hang signs in every shul, every Beis Medrash. They announce it in every shul, every Beis Medrash, wherever large crowds are gathered, wherever people gather together. And that's why Megillah Esther also is called the an Igeres, because it's read Berov Am. It's read where there are significant crowds that get together. Now, we had a discussion yesterday about Ein Ona'a b'Karkos. Why is it that Karka, that there's no din of Ona'a when it comes to Karka? One possibility is Gzeres HaKasov, the Shita of Tosfos, the Maseches Babasod of Samachalv, Gzeres HaKasov, there's no logical explanation, it's just Ein Ona'a b'Karkos. But the Chinuch, the Mitzvah Shin Lamed Zayin, understands that no, it's not Stam Gzeres HaKasov. It's that the Karka is worth to the guy who buys it whatever it is that he paid for it. It's worth that much money to him because it's something that he's going to have forever. So the Rashbeit writes over here that according to the Shita that holds that the reason for Eino Nara L'Karkos is like to say for Achinuch, that it's not Gzeres HaKasov, we understand very well why when Beis Din sells, even if they make a mistake by 1/6, the mecher is going to be batal. Because the whole reason of Eino Nober Karkos is based on what the Gemara Bava Metzia says, that there's no unah by the Baal HaBayis, because that karka is very chashuv to a person, and he's willing to sell it only for way more than it's actually worth. I mean, you could argue that that for a person to sell his land is something that's very it's very emotional for him, something he's very connected to, and therefore he's only going to sell it if it's worth, if he's going to get a lot of money for it. So that could be that maybe that whole svar is only shayach when a person is selling it on his own, but when Beis Din is selling it for him, the whole reason doesn't apply. Mimela, you're going to go back to the regular dinim of ona'a, and you would say that yesh ona'a l'karka'os. So that's why when Beis Din sells, all of a sudden, even though it's karka, we're going back to some dinim of ona'a over here. So frankly, Gemara, yibayilhu, shaliach keman, when a shaliach sells something, so what are the rules of a shaliach selling and having it mispriced? Do we assume that the shliach has a din of an almana who sells nichsei yisomim, where we know the rule that of an almana selling nichsei yisomim is that if she's off even by a little bit, the whole mecher is batel? Or do we assume a shliach has a din of dayanim, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said in our Mishnah the mecher is kayam, that even if it's off by a sixth, the mecher is going to be kayam? So what's the din by a shliach? Now Rashi says shliach keman shliach deta'a. Rashi seems very clearly talking about a regular shliach. Stam, you make a shliach to sell your property, and he sells your property for you, and he's off by a little bit. He sells for the wrong price. So do we treat him like an almana, or do we treat him like the Beis Din? So Rava Amar Rav Nachman, shliach kedayanin. Rava says in the name of Nachman that a shliach has a din of dayanim, and therefore he can be off by a little bit, and the mecher will still be kayam. Rav Shmuel Bar Bissa Amar Rav Nachman, kalmana. And Rav Shmuel Bar Bissa says in the name of Rav Nachman that no, a shliach has a din of an almana, where if he's off even by a little bit, a ta'us kaldahu, the whole mecher is going to be batel. What's the svara for each one? Why would we compare a shliach more to a dayan? And why would Rav Shmuel Bar Bissa compare a shliach more to an almana? Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, shliach kedayanin. Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman that a shliach is like a dayan, in that he can be off by a little bit, and the shliach, and the mecher is still going to be kayam, because ma dayanin lav l'didhu, av shliach nami lav l'didei. Just like when dayanim sell, they're not gaining anything out of it. They're not selling for their own purposes. They're selling so that this person can pay off his chovos. Well, the shliach also, he's not selling for his own purposes. He's just doing the bidding of another party, but he's not getting anything out of it. Lafuki almana de la dida, as opposed to an almana, when she's selling, she's the one that's getting the profits from it. She needs to sell the karka, the nechasim of the yisomim, in order to get her ksuba. So she's selling in order to benefit from it. So that's why we would say that the shliach has a din of dayanim. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisnam, Rav Nachman, ka'almana. Rav Shmuel Bar Bisnam says in the name of Nachman, no, the shliach has a din of an almana, because ma'almana yechida, av shliach yachid. Just like an almana is one person doing the sale, a shliach also is one person that's trying to effect the sale. La'afuke beis din de rabim minu, as opposed to a beis din where there are a whole group of people doing the sale, and therefore they have different rules than we would have when individuals are selling. So that's the svara to say that a shliach should have a din of an almana, where if they're off even by a little bit, the whole thing is going to be batel. Vihilchasa shliach kalmana, and la halacha we say that the shliach has a din of an almana. Now, as I mentioned before, we had said that Rashi understands this whole discussion of a shliach is stam, a regular shliach selling anything. Anytime you make a shliach to sell something for you, Tosos has some issues with that. If you look at the top Tosos, Mash appears because of shliach stam mashma, tafilu shliach di alma, that we're talking about a regular shliach, the kashal rabbeinu tam. The le'el amr of Nachman, aval ta'a shliach lo, darmale litkune shidaticha. In yesterday's daf, we learned that if a shliach makes a mistake, the mishaleach can tell the shliach, I only appointed you my shliach insofar as you're going to do something good for me. But if you're going to do something that doesn't benefit me, well then there's no shlichus whatsoever. Sounds like even the tiniest mistake that a shliach makes should be something that should nullify the entire shlichus. How could Rava therefore say that a shliach is kitayanim, that he has some leeway, that even the tolls of a shtus, the mekach is going to be kayim? And not only that, but odikshe, the bereshi ish mekadish, the Gemara says in the beginning of the second paragraph, that when brothers divide an estate, we treat it as if they're buying each other out. And therefore, it's like a sale. It has the rules of a sale if we make a mistake in the division, in how we divide it. And if the mistake is by less than 1/6, we just let it be. That's only if there's no shliach. Aval mashvi shliach lo. But if there's a shliach, then even if the mistake is by very little, the whole thing is going to be batal. Because again, you can say that your whole shlichus is only on the condition that you're going to do right by me. And if you do wrong by me, then there's no shlichus. So alma b'shliach afil b'pachus mishtos mecha batal. So don't you see that even by a shliach, that b'pachus mishtos, the whole mekach is going to be batal? How could Rav over here say that stam, the regular shliach, has a din of dayanim, where the mecher is going to be kaim, even if the mistake is b'shtos? Here we have even b'pachus mishtos, the whole mekach is going to be batal. So the first Tosfos says v'doch Rabbeinu Shmuel d'hasam Rav lefi svaraso kamar al Rav Nachman lo svirlei. Over here in our Gemara, Rav is not talking about his own shita. Rav is saying in the name of Rav Nachman. So maybe you could distinguish that way, that the Gemara over there, it is Rava talking over there, but maybe that's Rava saying his own opinion over here, saying Rav Nachman's opinion. But Rabbeinu Tam understands differently. D'hacha mayri b'shliach d'dayanim. Over here, we're not talking about a regular shliach. Stam, whenever you make a shliach to sell something. We're talking about a shliach of dayanim. Da'olim kocho tfei u'mechrokai mashtus. When you are the shliach of the dayanim to do something, so then maybe you are empowered like the dayanim. So that's the whole discussion in our Gemara. When you're a regular shliach of a regular person, letzkunish etich v'lalavosi. But when you're the shliach of the dayanim, and the dayanim are empowered to make certain mistakes, and we let it go, and we say that the mecher is kayam, so maybe their shliach would have the same status. Or maybe no. Maybe we say that when dayanim do it themselves, they're a group of people, so there's sort of room for them to make an error. We assume that they would catch each other, and therefore we assume that there's a certain authority that it's done with. But if it's done by only one person who the dayanim just sent in their place, maybe it would not be the same. So that's how Tosfos understands the possibility that the whole discussion is not about a regular shliach. Now, according to Rashi, the whole sugi is talking about a regular shliach, whether he's kalman or like a beis din, a regular shliach, and la'alacha therefore would paskin that the shliach is like an almana. What would Rashi say about a shliach beis din? Meaning the Gemara never discusses what a shliach of beis din would be according to Rashi. In the Piskei Atosfos write that a shliach who makes a mistake b'pachus mishtos, the mekach is kayam, and you have to return the amount of money that we were off by. So the Magia in the Piskei Atosfos says, I don't understand. The Gemara paskins that shliach chalmana, and therefore even b'pachus mishtos, the mekach should be batel. How can you say that a shliach, the mekach would be kayim b'pachus mishtos, and you just return the extra amount, meaning the maskana sagamara, the shliach is like an almana, according to Rabbi Natan, that's talking about even a shliach beis din. So it turned out that every shliach is like an almana. So within Sefer Kedushas Yisrael, he's mitarets that it could be the Piskei Tosfos understands like Rashi, and according to Rashi, the whole machlokas in the Gemara is only about a shliach stam. So you could say that shliach, that when we say shliach kalmana, it's only by a regular shliach, but maybe a shliach beis din, the halacha would be that he has a din of a beis din, and therefore the rules are going to be different. That b'pachus mishtos the mekach is taka going to be kayam because he would have a din of a beis din. Magen Mishnah writes this way in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Mechira Perek Gimel Halacha Tes writes that an apotropos who makes a mistake b'kol shehu is chozer and it's eino ke beis din. And Magen Mishnah explains that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the din of shliach kalmana is about a shliach beis din. So certainly we could be mechali between a shliach Beis Din, not Petropos, that was appointed by Beis Din. But even according to Rashi and Tosfos, who hold that the din of shliach kalmana is talking about a regular shliach, still we could be mechalik between an apotropos and a shliach Beis Din. So he fits it in according to both shittos. So says Gemara Vayter now umayishna mehadatnan. Why is this any different than when we say shliach is like an almana, that if the shliach makes even the tiniest mistake, the whole sale is going to be invalid, we're going to nullify the whole thing? Why is that any different than the following Mishnah that we mentioned yesterday? Ha'omer l'shlucho, if a guy appoints a shliach and he tells him, say utrom, I want you to go take truma for me, torim kedas balabayis, the shliach should figure out how generous the balabayis normally is in his taking of truma, v'imeni odeya daitu shal balabayis, and if he happens to not know how generous the balabais normally is, torim bebeninis echel mechamishin. Well, then you should take 1/50th, which is the average that a balabais would give for truma. Piches asara o hosef asara, and if he's off by 10, meaning he gives 1/40th, which is normally the amount a very generous person would give, or he gives 1/60th, which is normally the amount a stingier person would give, truma so truma, it's still going to be valid. But wait a second, I thought we said that a shliach is like an almana, that when a shliach makes a mistake, even if it's the tiniest little mistake, the whole thing is going to be batel. Over here, he's off by 10. He's giving 1/40th, he's giving 1/60th, instead of giving 1/50th, and we still say that the truma is going to be valid, that it's going to be a valid truma. As Tosfos points out, Hachi Parach, Alma b'midi David Shliach Tata, Amrin d'maisa Shlok Hayim. Apparently, if it's something that's normal for a Shliach to make a mistake in, we assume that whatever he did works. So it's normal for a person to make a mistake by less than 1/6 when selling properties. So why don't we say that the Mechach should be Kayim by our case of Shliach as well? So that's the kash of the Gemara. Answer the Gemara. Hasam kiven di ika detorim ba'ayin ra, v'ika detorim ba'ayin yafa, amle lachi madaticha. No, when it comes to truma, there are three modes of giving truma. There's the ayin ra, the ayin yafa, the ayin beninus. So since there's a significant number of people that give 1/40th and a significant number of people that give 1/60th, he could say, that's what I thought, that's what I thought you are. Aval hacha to'usahu, amle lo'i ba'alach lamiti. But over here, it's an objective mistake by mispricing the item, the land, and therefore he could say you should not have made this mistake. A little bit difficult to understand. If this person was a Beinoni and he was not an Ayin Yafa person, so isn't that an objective mistake? What do I care that there are people that give an Ayin Yafa? He's not that person. You're supposed to do my shlichus. Why does it matter? Why is that less of an objective mistake? So the Chasam Sofer explains that since the Balabais knows that there are three types of Tormim, there are three types of people that give Truma, and he never told the shliach which category he fits into, so we assume that he was somech on the umdana that the shliach would make. He was somech on the shliach's assessment of him, and he was okay with that, whatever assessment the shliach would make. And therefore, it's not considered a toos at all, because we consider that he was doing the bidding of the balabais exactly as the balabais wanted it, because otherwise the balabais should have said something. But when you're selling land, there is an objective value of the land. There are no three modes. You're obviously telling him to sell it for what it's worth and not to make any mistakes in terms of what it's worth. That's the Gemara's answer according to the Chasam Sofer. Amrav Huna Bar Chinna, Amrav Nachman, Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. That we pass like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, meaning we had a machlokas in our Mishnah when Beis Din sells something and they're off by 1/6, so that Chachamim held that the Mechor is Batal. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, the Mechor is Kayim, because otherwise what authority are you really giving Beis Din? So ask the Gemara, you pass like the Chachamim, the last Rav Nachman, Makoach Beis Din Yafa. Does Rav Nachman not hold of the concept of Makoach Beis Din Yafa? V'am Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, didn't Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel tell us he's some shabal lachlok benichse avien, when you some him come to divide the father's estate, based in mamidin lan apotropos ubarin lam chelik yafa, based in has to appoint an apotropos and they're supposed to pick a good portion for each of the Yisomim. But then, Higdilu, when the Yisomim get older, Yichalun Limchos, they can make a macha and say, we don't like what the Apotropos chose for us. Rav Nachman di Deyomar, Higdilu ein Yichalun Limchos, because imkein makoach bezin yafa. Rav Nachman himself says, no, when they grow up, they can't say a word, because the whole point of Beis reason appointing an apotropos is that the apotropos has to have authority, because makpach bezin yafa, bezin has to be able to have authority to appoint an apotropos and for the apotropos's actions to mean something. So if the apotropos divides for the yisomim, when they grow up, they can't say anything. So Gemara is asking, why is it over there when the apotropos is appointed by bezin? Rav Nachman apparently buys into this svara of makpach bezin yafa. Yet over here, he paskins like the Tanakhama, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's the one that says that the svara of makpach bezin yafa. Says more lo kasha, hadita'u, hadalota'u. Big difference if they made a mistake or they didn't make a mistake. Meaning, in our mission, they made a mistake. They were off on the pricing. The apotropos of the Yisomim may not have been to the Yisomim's liking, but there was no mistake. So, well, then what's the havamin that the children can make a macha if there was no mistake at all? What exactly is their macha? Beruchos. Their macha is that they would prefer to have the field on this side because it's closer to some other field they have or closer to their home or whatever. They're arguing about where. They're not arguing about the evaluation of the karka. That's what the Yisomim are talking about. But the apotropos did not actually make a mistake. This is machlokes rishonim. What type of Yisomim Bezin would ever appoint an apotropos to divide their estate for? Rashi understands that we're talking about Yisomim katanim. When all the Yisomim are katanim, and Bezin wants to divide the estate amongst the different Yisomim, so each one gets an apotropos. Each of the Yisomim gets an apotropos to take care of his own concerns, and the apotroposim work it out amongst them to make sure that the that they represent are represented properly. The Ritva, however, says the Ritva Masechet Yevamos of Samach Zayin says several problems with Rashi. First of all, if they're all ketanim, why are we dividing it now? Why doesn't Bezin just appoint one apotropos, take care of the property, take care of the land, and when they're gedolim, they could do it on their own. Let them divide it. What's the benefit of dividing it right now while they're all Yisomim Ketanim? It's just leave it alone, let one apotropos take care of it, make sure that it doesn't degenerate, and then they'll divide it when they get older. Also, Yisomim Shabo'u Lachlok sounds like there are Yisomim here that are not Ketanim, because Ketanim don't normally make decisions like this. Sounds like there must be Gedolim in the picture. And also, the Lashon of apotropos doesn't sound like it's apotropsim. The way Rashi understands it is that each Yasom has his own representative, his own apotropos. Doesn't really sound that way from the lashon of apotropos. Sounds like there's only one guy. So that's why the Ritva says entirely different. In the name of Tosos, the Ritva says that we're talking over here where there are some Yisomim Ketanim and some Yisomim Gedolim that are coming to divide. And the Gedolim want to know exactly what they get. They want to get their portion right now. So since so for the Gedolim, we don't have an apotropsim for their Nechasim, so they get their Yerusha. So the Beis Din puts one apotropos in charge of all of the Yisomim Ketanim, because let's say there are three Ketanim and three Gedolim. So three Gedolim will fend for themselves, and then an apotropos will represent the three Ketanim and see to it that the three Ketanim all together are going to get half of the value of the estate. When are the Ketanim going to divide amongst themselves? When they get older. There's only one apotropos for all the Yisomim Ketanim. There's no need for the Yisomim Ketanim to divide amongst themselves right now. But later on, when they get older, they may be upset about what the Gedolim had taken, that they wanted the piece that the Gedolim had taken. That's the case according to the understanding of the Ritva. So according to the Ritva, if there's only Yisomim Ketanim, they would never divide an estate. We would never be mamad apotropsim. We would have one apotropos take care of it, and then when they're Gedolim, they would divide amongst themselves. Rebbe once passed like the Chachamim, where he said that the Mekach is going to be Batel when Beis Din sold. Amr lefan of Parta b'no shel Reb Lozer ben Parta ben b'no shel Rabbi Parta Agadol. Part of the son of Reb Lozer ben Parta, the grandson of Rabbi Parta Agadol. So Machlok is exactly how that works out. Is Rabbi Parta Agadol the great grandfather, just the grandfather, whatever it is? Meaning, is ben b'no a reference to Rabbi Lozer ben Parta, or is that a reference to the Parta himself? But either way, this name Parta apparently was in the family. So he said, "Imkei makach bezin yafa." He said, "Rebbe, how could you do this? How could you say the the whole mekach is going to be batel, and Bezin was once selling, well then what authority are you really giving Bezin? V'ichsa Rabbi Yisamaisa, and Rabbi undid what he had done. Rav Dimi Masniach, Rav Dimi, that's how Rav Dimi learned this Maisa with Rabbi. Rav Safra Masniach, Rav Safra had a different version of the Maisa, that Maisa ubikesh Rabbi lasos kidivrei chachamim, not that Rabbi actually passed like chachamim, but he was about to make that mistake. And then Omer Lefana Parta Ben Oshol Bezim Parta Ben Oshol Parta Agadol Im Kein Makoach Bezin Yafe, that Im Kein Makoach Bezin Yafe, if you're going to do like the chachamim. So lost the Rabbi Yisamaisa, and that's what discouraged Rabbi from doing it, and Rabbi never actually passed like chachamim. So what's the machlokas whether he did it and was machzir or never did it in the first place? So lema b'halka miflugi mar saver ta b'dvar mishloch chozer mar saver ta mar saver eino chozer. Maybe the machlokas is if you ta b'dvar mishloch. Here we have a mishnah that says explicitly that Rishum Umliel says makoach beizdin yafe. So would we say that's ta b'dvar mishloch? When you make a mistake like that, you have to change the psak din even if it's already done. According to the first version of the story, yes, even though he already did it, he changed the psak din. According to the second version of the story, he would not have changed the psak din had it already been done. He only changed the psak because he didn't do it yet. So it's all about a ta b'dvar mishnah, says Marlov. Everyone would say a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah, you would change the Psak Din. The whole discussion is just, how did it actually happen? Did it happen that they had to, or did it happen that they didn't have to? It's interesting that we call this a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah. It's a machlokas in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel. So to not paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel is a Tov B'Dvar Mishnah. To paskin like the Shita, the Chacham, the majority Shita, Tov B'Dvar Mishnah means you make a fundamental error, where you're missing some basic fact. So Rashi deals with that over here, and Rashi writes, "V'hainami b'dvar mishnahu shavu pishenechluku chacham malar mishimin harei nasan tam l'dvarav." Even though the Chum disagreed with Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon has a good svara. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel gives a good svara. So therefore, the implication is that the maskana is that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is correct. Very difficult to understand. We have machlokos all over Mishnayis, where one opinion says one thing and another opinion says the other thing, and he explains himself. But that means what? That the Chum backed out, that they didn't hold to their... No, Mistama, they continued to maintain their Shita. So that's still called the Tav B'Dvar Mishnah. Difficult to understand why it's called the Tav B'Dvar Mishnah.
Yeah?
Rebbe's also a Tana, right? And so the definition of Tav B'Dvar Mishnah is something that that's widely accepted and everyone is expected to know. Like the Achronim talk about, if let's say nowadays a person makes a mistake against what says Mufurish and Shulchan Aruch, maybe that's also called Tav B'Dvar Mishnah. It's not a Mishnah, it's not a Tana. Tav B'Dvar Mishnah is an expression that means something that you really should have known. If Dayan makes a mistake, he didn't know a tshuva of the Shri Deish or something, or that Ramesh has a tshuva somewhere about, not every Dayan has to know every tshuva of every Achron. But he doesn't know what it says in Shulchan Aruch on the thing that he's paskening, that would be a Tav B'Dvar Mishnah. Something that's a basic piece of knowledge for someone in that position that he's expected to know. Amar Rav Yosef, our malta dezvina, when an almana sells, so let's say the property gets confiscated from the buyer. Who's accepting the achrayus of that property? So achrayus is yasmi. The achrayus is on the yisomim. They're the ones that are going to have to reimburse the buyer. Ubezdin dezavin, achrayus is yasmi. Similarly, when bezdin sells, the achrayus goes to the yisomim. They're the ones that are responsible. Of course, it's their property. So answering Marna, Almana lo etzrichle. You're right. For an Almana, it's no chiddush that the achrayus is on the yisomim. Ki etzrichle beidina. The chiddush is that when Bezin sells that there's achrayus at all. Ma'u detain if there's one might have thought called the zavin mi beidina adai to the meipaklei kalahu the zavin kamash mlon. One might have thought that whenever something is being sold in Bezin, the whole point is that everyone's going to find out about it. It's a very public sale, and therefore, if someone at Tain is in this karka, they should have come earlier. So there's no achrayus whatsoever, because we assume that everything is going to be done, that whatever tainas there would have been would have already been taken care of. I forgot to mention with this the Achronim point out that this is one of the makaros that we see that the Medrash says that it used to be that when they would name children, they would name after events that happened and there was a certain amount of Ruach HaKodesh, but now we name after family, and this is one of the rayas that you name after family. They suggest, because really the halacha is Zecher Tzadik Levracha. There's only one halacha by names. It's Shem Rasham Yerkov. You're not supposed to name after a Rasha. Ideally, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, you should try to name after a Tzadik. So some of the Achronim suggest that that's a kiyum of Kibbutz Av. that when you name after your own family members, that's showing that you hold them to be a tzaddik. So that's it's a kiyum of kibrach to dafka name after family members. Others suggest it's a way of keeping our yichus straight, that people should know where they come from. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. The reason for Sefer Hasidim, that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes in his Tzava, that a person shouldn't marry his daughter off to a boy who has the same name as him, that he shouldn't have a father-in-law, son-in-law with the same name, was maybe because of this, because they're not going to be able to name the children after the grandfather, because it's going to be the same name as the father, and we try to keep this minhag of naming after family members. That's the widespread minhag in Klal Yisrael now. Rav Shmuel had said that imken makoch beizin yafa. The ad kamen, to what extent we still allow beizin to make mistakes? Am Rav Huna bar Yudom Rav Sheshes ad palga up until half. Tanya na miyachi Rav Shmuel beizin shemach roshav masayim b'mana o shav mana b'masayim mechron kayim. If they're off by half, the mechron is going to be kayim. Amra meimer mishmed Rav Yosef. Bezdin shemachru b'lo achraza nasu kamisha tobedvar mishnah v'chozrin. A memer is mechadish that if bezdin sells without doing achraza, without publicizing first and announcing it first, it's like they're tobedvar mishnah and the whole thing is null and void. Nasu vaday tau detnan shuma yisom and shloshim yom shuma hegdish shishim yom machrizin v'bokar be'erev. So what do you mean nasu vaday tau? How could you say it's nasu kamisha tobedvar mishnah? We make it as if they're tobedvar mishnah. No, it's Vaday Tohu. That's definitely a Tohu B'dvar Mishnah. It's a Beferish Mishnah. That when you're evaluating properties of Yisomim, you need 30 days of Achraza, and for Egdish, 60 days of Achraza, and Achraza happens twice a day, every day for that time period. So what do you mean? It's almost like it's Tohu B'dvar Mishnah. It says, well, no, Imeahi Havamina Hanimili Shliach. I would think that's only when it's a Shliach, of a Bezdin love. But maybe Bezdin doesn't require that level of Achraza. Kamashmalan. That's why it tells me that no, it is like a Tohu B'dvar Mishnah. That if Dayanim are off by 1/6, so the Mishnah had said that the Mechron is Batel. What does that imply? Hashava b'shava Mechron Kayam. That if it was exactly right, then the Mechron would be Kayam. My love to low Achraza, aren't we talking about a case where there was no Achraza? And still we're saying that the Mechron is Kayam as long as the price was right? Says Gemara, no. Below, we're going to have four answers. The first one is low, bida achraz. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about where there was a achraza. It says, no, it can't be. Hamid the seifa bida achraz have a resha bida lo achraz. The seifa first introduces us to achraza, so it has to be that in the resha there was no achraza. The katani seifa, imasu we geras bikaras afilu machru shav mana b'masayim, or shav masayim b'mana mechron kayam. The seifa goes on to say, if they did achraza, if they had any geras bikaras, then if they're off even by a lot, the mechron is kayam. Sounds like the resha was talking about there was no achraza. And still the Mechor is Kayim if they get the price correctly. So what's going on? So Gemara tries a second answer. El Yolam Bidulo Achraz. The Mishnah is talking about where there was no Achraza. Why is the Mechor Kayim? Velokasha. Kan Bidvar Mishem Machrizin Aleim. Kan Bidvar Mishem Machrizin Aleim. There are certain things that you're not supposed to do Achraza on. Ve'eluin Dvar Mishem Machrizin Aleim. Havadim Metaltlin Vashtaros. You're not supposed to do Achraza when you're selling Havadim Metaltlin Vashtaros. Why not? Havadim Taim Mai Shemi Yishmu V'yivruchu. Because if Havadim here, that they're being machriz, that the evidence for sale, he's going to not be happy about it, he's going to run away. Mitaltu nishtaros, shami yignavu. And if mitaltu nishtaros are being publicized, we have a concern that they're going to be stolen. It's only karka, which doesn't have a mind of its own, and can't really be stolen, because it doesn't go anywhere, that we do achraza. So our Mishnah must have been talking about that there was no need for achraza, because it was avadim, mitaltu or shtaros. Viva yisem, or another possibility, kan b'sha shemachrizin, kan b'sha shein machrizin. Maybe it depends on whether it was a time that allowed us to do achraza. Darmin ardoy lekargel mizoni lekvura mizavnin and blo achrazasa. That the ardoy say that whenever you're selling because and you need the funds right away to pay for a tax or to pay for the mizonos of the woman or to pay for a kvura, you don't have time for achraza. So maybe that's what our Mishnah was talking about, that they didn't do achraza. The sale was valid because there was simply no time for achraza. Or a fourth possibility to explain our Mishnah: viva yisema kan b'makom shemachrizin kan b'makom she'en machrizin. There are certain places where they don't do achraza, like in Nahardaa. Why wouldn't they do achraza in Nahardaa? We originally thought it's because everyone in Nahardaa is such an expert, you don't need achraza to get the right price. That if there's achraza that goes around, everyone's going to know you got this on the cheap, you got this land on the cheap, and that's embarrassing. achrazing, and people would make fun of them. So they wouldn't do achraza because then no one would want to buy it if they did achraza, because everyone would make fun that they bought their house, you know, from a sale that was on the cheap because they would have to sell someone's nechassim. When it comes to Beis and selling metaltel, and they evaluate them, umochnas on the altar and sell them right away. Rav Chisam, Rav Yimi, mochnas on the shvakim. That you wait till the yom hashuk to sell them. Lo pligi had the mikri shuka, had the merchak shuka. Depends how soon the yom hashuk is going to be, whether you could wait for it or not. Rav Kana of biyadi shichrud Rav Mesharshi bar Chilkai yasma. Rav Kana had some beer that was owned by Rav Mesharshi bar Chilkai, who was a yasam. How was he a rabbi if he was a yasam? Someone he was younger, he was a yasam. Now he's a rabbi. Shaya ad rigla, and he waited until the regel to sell it. Even though by the time regel comes, it's not going to be as fresh anymore, it's not going to be as good, but it's going to fetch a lot more money because there will be a lot more demand for it. Ravina had his nephew Ravina's wine, who was a yasom, and he was in charge of taking care of it and of selling it. He also happened to have some of his own wine. He was sending his wine on a boat somewhere to go be sold in a different market. So he came to Ravashi to ask a shayla. Can I take the Yasam's wine and put it with my wine and have it both be sold in the same place? Or maybe I shouldn't take such risks by putting the wine of Yasomim on a boat. If that's the way you would treat your own stuff, that's the way you could treat the Yasom stuff. We assume that you're being plenty careful with it. Okay, but Hashem, will pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.